Basically, it's oily. It does not burn cleanly. And as a result, you put diesel fuel into a gasoline burning engine, and the results are predictable. The spark plugs are going to cake up with carbon deposits. The exhaust manifold will obstruct. The catalytic converter is going to be ruined. And the person who sees the black smoke coming out from their engine will reach the logical conclusion that my car's developed a disease. No, the car has not developed the disease. That car, that engine is malfunctioning precisely, predictably. So clear, you can read newsprint through normal serum. This is what your blood should look like after you eat a meal. But you eat a standard Western meal, you have those bacon and eggs for breakfast and the cheeseburger for lunch or the chicken for dinner or the dairy during the day. And if an hour after one of these meals, I sneak up on you and draw that same 5 cc's of blood and into the tube and spin it down. What we would see is blood that looks like this. This cloudy material up on the in the serum here, this is called lipemia. It means fat in the blood. Lipoemia means fat in the blood. Postprandial means after eating. So this is the fat in the blood that shows up after one eats. It's mostly triglycerides and saturated fats from the fats in the food the person just ate, along with the cholesterol from the animal muscle that the patient ate. Now, I will grant that not everybody shows the fat this optically densely, but everybody has a wave of fat that goes through the bloodstream after you eat such a meal. How can you not? Where else is it going to go? Of course. And your blood stays this kind of fatty for a good five, count them, 5 hours after such a meal. Here's Kuo's classic study. They gave someone a fatty meal at hour zero, and they drew blood once an hour for 6 hours. And they took those six blood tubes and put them one after another into an instrument that measures how fatty the blood is getting. And you can see the blood getting fattier and fattier and fattier and fattier. It takes the liver a good 5 hours before it begins to clear the fat out of the blood. And during this time, when the blood is running thick with fat, evil things are happening in the body. Certainly, bad cholesterol is increasing, but so is the blood viscosity. The red cells start sticking together. The blood becomes thicker and more dense, and it doesn't deliver oxygen and nutrients as well. And it's harder to force thick blood through tiny capillary beds, so blood pressure goes up. The fat flows through the abdominal fat stores, increasing obesity. That increases the risk for inflammation and type 2 diabetes. We'll talk about that in a minute. This increases insulin resistance, so blood sugar goes up. And the saturated fats are pro-inflammatory. It raises inflammatory reactions throughout the body. This is the result of a standard Western meal, as I've showed you. Now, I've been focusing on the fat because it's the most visibly obvious to show you how long the effects of a given meal last in the body. But there's more than fat in that blood. And it is a high salt diet. When you think about what most Americans eat, most Westerners eat, there's salt in the meat, salt in the cheese, salt in the on the French fries, salt in the potato chips, salt on the sausages. It's a high sodium diet. And we are well aware that the sodium can penetrate into the walls of the arteries, stiffening them and making the kidneys retain water to dilute out the sodium and the increased fluid in the bloodstream and the stiff artery walls creates high blood pressure. That opens the door to heart attacks, strokes, congestive heart failure, but also we are learning that high salt diets increase the activity of Th17 helper cells, and that opens the door to autoimmune diseases like lupus. So who knew that high salt diets invite lupus and autoimmune diseases into the body, but they do. And as a recovering saltaholic myself, I'm looking for ways to entertain my tongue with non-salty flavorings. And I'm able to do that with lemon juice and balsamic vinegars and these various salt substitutes. So whatever you can do to lower the salt content in your diet is probably a wise thing for many reasons. So the high salt diet is an issue that we have to deal with, but so is the sugar in the diet. Now, everybody likes sugar, and I'm talking about a little half teaspoon of sugar in your tea. I'm talking about eating sugar as a food. When you eat a vegan cupcake or cookies or a chocolate bar or drink a cola drink, you are flooding your tissues with grams and grams of glucose, fructose, dextrose, maltose, and these sugars stick to proteins all over the body. They become glycosylated. And glycosylated proteins are stiff, they don't work as well. But very importantly, when you then heat these glycosylated proteins, you produce what's called advanced glycation end products, or AGEs. Don't worry about the name so much. Remember the acronym. AGEs age you. They are teeming with free radicals. These are atoms that have lost an electron, and they will rip electrons off any passing molecule, including your DNA, your cell membranes. You don't want to eat things with lots of AGEs in it, but that's what gets produced when you drop potato chips into boiling oil. You create lots of AGEs when you bake those cookies. You create what's called the Maillard reaction, and that is the heating of these glycosylated proteins. And that's what produces the crust on breads. You don't eat a whole lot of that. But this is the Maillard reaction. You can create it with your own body heat, just eating the sugars and glycosylating your own protein. Your own body heat will run a low-grade version of the Maillard reaction that the bakers use to make baked bread. Your own body heat will create that. And you create these AGEs from just eating the sugars. That's why you don't want to eat sugar as a food. It's a flavoring. It's one thing to create these AGEs on the surface of a French baguette or on a chocolate chip cookie. But boy, you don't want to run the Maillard reaction, and the crystalline proteins in the lens of your eye is a great way to open the door to cataracts. You don't want to run the Maillard reaction on the elastin fibers in your skin. It's a great way to give your to turn your skin into an old suitcase. And you sure don't want to run the Maillard reaction on the inner lining of the blood vessels of your brain. This is the membranes across which oxygen has to be delivered. And the effects of putting all these AGEs into the brain arteries are dramatic. Here are the arteries of two men. These are the brain arteries, the middle cerebral arteries, of two men who died at the same age. But the man in the upper panel here did not have Alzheimer's dementia. The man down in the lower panel did have Alzheimer's dementia. And you can see how the man with the Alzheimer's has arteries that are thickened and edematous. And if you stain for the AGEs, you'll see these artery walls are filled with these advanced glycation end products. There's a big vascular component to Alzheimer's disease. Now, this dementia is not something that falls out of a tree on you at age 70. This is 65 years of running the meat, the dairy, oil, sugars, the Western diet through our vascular system. The arteries suffer for it, and eventually, so does our brain. Turns out, by the way, we'll get to it, but cooking carbohydrates is actually not the main source of AGEs in the diet. It's cooking animal muscle. This by far is the major source of advanced glycation end products in the Western diet. We'll come back to that in a minute. So you shouldn't be eating either the cooked carbohydrates or the cooked animal muscle. They're both filled with these AGEs. They are the free radicals they contain are molecular terrorists that will rip electrons off your DNA. So this first part of the talk has been trying to alert you that vegan junk foods, the salty snacks, the sugary snacks, the preformed AGEs in the high temperature cooking, the vegetable oils, these are all pro-inflammatory damaging molecules. That's why we emphasize whole food plant-based instead of the word vegan. I'm very favorably disposed to the idea of a vegan diet. But in today's world, a vegan diet allows all these junk foods, as I'm trying to tell you. Now, these foods can really hurt you. So go for whole food, plant-based nutrition and you'll stay away from this dangerous swamp of snack foods that really age our tissues. Now that I've made this obligatory stop in vegan junk food land, let's talk about the reality of what most Westerners eat. It's not a vegan diet. There's a piece of animal muscle in the center of essentially every meal that most Westerners eat. And if that piece of animal muscle is missing, you call the weight person over and say, "Hey, where's my protein?" We really think that meat is the sole source of protein in the Western diet. Well, not only is that not true, as we'll talk about in a minute, but look at the reality of what a meal based with a piece of muscle in the center of it sends through every cell in your body for hours after every meat-based meal. First of all, no one eats raw meat. The very act of cooking the meat, of grilling the burger, broiling the steak, frying the chicken, oxidizes the cholesterol in the animal muscle, which I'll show you in a minute. And oxidized cholesterol particles are the main drivers of atherosclerotic plaque formation in the artery walls. So a surge of oxidized cholesterol molecules pours through the tissues with every animal-based meal, and that those oxidized cholesterol molecules work their way into the artery walls. When you broil the steak or grill the burger, you're going to be oxidizing the nucleic acids and the glycogen in the animal muscle. That generates what are called reactive aldehydes, like glyoxal and acrolein. These are mutagenic. That means they damage your genes. They damage your DNA. These are the same genes that call forth the enzymes in your cells that let your tissues do their biochemistry. Why eat a lunch that damages your very DNA? But that's what a diet, what a meal based on cooked animal muscle guarantees. Nu5GC, this is a sialic acid that only animals make, and it drives inflammatory reactions throughout the body. And our paleo friends and our keto friends are giving themselves a shot of Nu5GC 2-3 times a day with every meat-based meal. And then there's endotoxin. All of us who've gone through medical school learn about endotoxin. And when you spend time in the intensive care unit, you see people dying of endotoxic shock. It is nasty stuff. What is it and where does it come from? It comes from the slaughterhouse. All animals, including organic grass-fed beef and free-range chickens, they all pass through the slaughterhouse. As the carcass is eviscerated, as the digestive system is removed, you inevitably get spillage of the gut contents. You can take a culture tube and swab any cutting surface in the meat packing plant, and you'll get a luxurious growth of E. coli and Salmonella and Shigella bacteria, Enterococcus, Clostridia, Pseudomonas, the whole rogues gallery of enteric bacteria are covering every steak and chop and chicken breast and turkey cutlet that leaves the slaughterhouse as a film of these bacteria on the surface of them. And the meat is wrapped in clear plastic and sent to your supermarket, where under the ultraviolet light in the meat case, these bacteria die. But as these microbes die, their cell walls break up, and it breaks up and releases this nasty lipopolysaccharide called endotoxin. This is nasty stuff. Take a little walk around this daisy of death to see what endotoxin does. It generates more free radical, depresses heart function, releases histamine, makes your blood clot. Nasty stuff, endotoxin. And it's heat stable. Grilling the burger, broiling the steak does not get rid of the endotoxin. And guess what? Endotoxin makes your gut leaky. It increases intestinal permeability. And that allows food proteins and bacterial cell walls to leak into the immune system, into the bloodstream, and set off inflammatory reactions throughout the body. Nasty stuff, endotoxin. And again, our paleo friends are giving themselves a shot of it 3 times a day. And it turns out that the absorption of endotoxin is increased by fat in the diet. Well, guess what? The standard meat-based diet had lots of fat in it. That's what makes that chicken finger licking good. They raise these animals to be as fatty as possible. So the fat that's in the meat increases the absorption of the endotoxin that increases all the bad effects of it. TMAO, what is that? Trimethylamine oxide. Well, the food you eat determines the microbes that live in your gut. The microbes that are summoned up by a diet based on meat and eggs are going to make these molecules generate what's called trimethylamine oxide. This drives cholesterol into the artery walls, increasing the risk of heart attacks and strokes. And the keto folks and the paleo folks are walking around with high levels of TMAO. Broiling the steak and grilling the burger inevitably creates cancer-causing molecules that smear on the stomach wall, giving gastric cancers, smears on the colon wall, giving colon cancers. When you eat meat and all those amino acids flood into the liver responds by putting out a surge of insulin-like growth factor 1. This is one of the most powerful growth-promoting hormones in the body. And it's great if you're a growing boy or girl, but if you're an adult woman with an early breast cancer, or you're a guy with a big prostate and some malignant cells deep inside of it, the last thing you want is a diet that makes you walk around with high levels of IGF-1, but that's exactly what a diet based on animal flesh creates. And if you are a dairy fan, that mother cow wants to give her growing baby calf lots of IGF-1. So dairy products and milk has lots of IGF-1 in it. And again, not so healthy if you are an adult person trying to avoid cancer growth. Heme iron makes red meat red. It also increases the risk of strokes and cancers. Don't have time to go into the mechanism of it. And the animals in the feedlot are fed bushels of grains that are sprayed with pesticides and herbicides. They drink water with mercury, cadmium, lead in it, and they're given hormones and antibiotics as growth promoters. All of these toxic molecules accumulate in the animal's flesh. And when you bite into that chicken breast or into that burger, you're eating all the bioconcentrated pesticides and herbicides and heavy metals and hormones and antibiotics that animal was fed during its life. And as I mentioned, just grilling the burger or broiling the steak, frying the chicken, creates these advanced glycation end products that create oxidative damage throughout the body. This is what surges through every cell in your body, every tissue, every organ in your body, with every meat-based meal. And it lasts for hours. It's what I call the postprandial red tide. Postprandial, again, it's after eating. And these are just some of the constituents, the molecular marauders that make up the red tide. It's a fatty tide. It's a salty tide. It's a sugary tide. It's antigenic, sets off immune reactions. It's full of phosphates and sulfates that form acids in the blood that need to be neutralized by kidneys and bones, not to their advantage. It's mutagenic, damages your genes. It's carcinogenic, sets off cancers. It's atherogenic, leads to artery clogging. It's pro-inflammatory, and it disrupts enzyme reactions throughout the body. This is what the red tide does to us. And again, Americans eating the standard meat-based diet are sending a surge of the red tide through their tissues 3 times a day, also like 4 times a day, hour after hour. And if you do the math, if you eat 3 times a day for every year, 365 days, that's over 1,000 times a year you are surging the red tide through your tissues. And we learned in physiology that within minutes of eating anything, molecules of that food are flowing through every cell in your body, where your DNA molecules lie unfolded, exposing your genes. And the food molecules flow over your DNA molecules, and they play your DNA like a piano. And these food molecules turn genes on, they turn genes off. They induce enzymes, they shut enzymes down. Every meal brings in not only nutrients, it brings in information. Every meal changes us on a genetic, molecular level.